Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is an Entel Studios production.
Hello, and welcome to Making the Cut podcast. And I am Davina McCall, and this is Michael Douglas.
Yeah, sorry. I think it was like the beginning of the One Show or something.
It was quite good, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Do you think we are auditioning, aren't we? For some sort of TV program.
Some kind of doubleheader.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we're like, what shows are there?
There's not many. There's This Morning.
Yeah.
We could do that.
Yeah, let's do that.
The One Show.
The One Show.
It could do with a reinvention, in my opinion, The One Show. That we could easily do that.
Let's do that.
I feel like we should invent our own show. I think we could have a better
show. Like Richard and Judy.
Yeah.
Michael and Davina.
Michael and Davina. But how would you feel about my name coming first?
Oh, God, it would be a relief.
Oh, would it?
Oh.
It was Michael and Davina.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, great.
Davina and Michael.
Yes, it seems a bit obvious that, doesn't it? It's too obvious.
Yeah. I'm quite happy to share heading.
Yeah, great.
Like, it's.
It'd be like me driving the car.
I like you driving the car.
Pretty good driver.
Yeah.
I'm a good driver.
Anyway, so this show, this podcast, I was already in a show.
Yeah, no, I'm happy. Let's call this a show.
Season two of the show.
Stop clicking my pen, sorry.
So, I am going to quickly explain that Making the Cut podcast is all about recommending things to you. So we try things out, and if we don't think they've made the cut, we don't talk about them. If we love them, we bring it to you. Each week, we cover an enormous variety of things, from the world's most expensive pencil to something I'm talking about today, which is £6.99. So enjoy, fill your boots, and here we go.
You're talking about something at £6.99?
Yep.
Wow.
It's the new me.
What is it, a packet of crisps?
Not telling you.
No, okay.
That's my kind of packet of crisps.
Yeah.
£6.99, the most luxurious packet of crisps.
I hate posh crisps. I hate expensive
They're
crisps.
Not good.
I like the cheapest crisps
you can buy. Do you know
why? Because they're thin and, like, full of flavour.
And?
Made with cheap oil. I don't
know. They're full of fat.
Yeah, well, fat is flavour, right? That's what the saying goes.
But that's why you like them.
Is it?
Is it Walkers?
You go to Pret or somewhere like that, or you go to an airport and you're about to get on a plane and you get a sandwich and all that's on offer is kettle chips. I just think, why?
I have enjoyed a kettle chip.
Never have I enjoyed a kettle chip.
I think they're too thick and
lacerate your mouth.
Yeah, they're too hard.
They're too hard. I don't want things cooked in a kettle.
I want something like that melts in your mouth.
Exactly. Skips. I want a bag of Skips.
Flavours.
Exactly. That's what I want. I want a corn-based
Frazzles.
Oh my God. On the subject of food, we are currently cooking something in a brand new device that you're going to talk to us about.
I am.
But first, I'm going to talk to them about buffalo chicken wings, which are my all-time favourite chicken wings.
Yes, do it.
I love chicken wings. I love all kind of deep-fried chicken.
Is this new?
No, I've always loved chicken wings.
Yeah.
And I love specifically when they're covered in that hot buffalo sauce. I don't know quite why it's called buffalo. I assume it would...
There must be a reason. Do you want me to look that up?
I did look it up once and I can't remember what it was. But yeah, go and have a look. Is there a place called Buffalo? Maybe it's originated there or something?
Why?
But it's Frank's hot sauce. I've talked about Frank's hot sauce before, but it's specifically the buffalo wings one is amazing. And that's because, you know, it gets used on chicken wings. We are cooking chicken wings at the moment.
The noise.
All my mouth's gone very juicy just saying the word. Slightly salivating here. So I'm always looking for like the perfect buffalo wing recipe. Okay, say it. Well, why is it called buffalo sauce?
As for how Buffalo, New York got its name.
Mm-hmm.
So Buffalo, New York must be that it's where it's from.
Okay.
But it's actually in New York. That's probably related to the American bison which, as stated, are often inaccurately called Buffalo. Buffalo, the city, started out on the already named Buffalo Creek.
Okay, so it's a place.
Yeah, why buffalo wings are called that. Today I found out. Feed your brain, yeah.
The recipe that I'm using at the moment, it came with this device that we're cooking it out of. I'm very happy to try the recipes that come with it. Like if I buy...
they know what they're talking about.
Yeah, they've tried it, right?
They know what they're talking about.
So here's the ingredients. 500 grams chicken wings, 1 garlic clove crushed, 1 tablespoon of olive oil, 1 tablespoon of cider vinegar, 1/2 tablespoon of paprika, 1/2 tablespoon of Worcestershire sauce.
He's not had any drink, by the way, today, people.
Not yet. 1 tablespoon of celery salt. That must be a teaspoon, right?
No, tablespoon. I put in a tablespoon.
It says teaspoon here. TSP, is that teaspoon?
Oh, no, I did put in a teaspoon then.
Okay.
I put in a tablespoon of paprika.
I hope so. Pepper sauce, 1 tablespoon of honey, salt and pepper. And then we mix them all up and then we put them in this device for 23 minutes. It says 20 to 25, so 123. Then we're going to make chips in it. I'm very excited. So these are split wings. So you get the kind of bicep of the wing and the forearm of the wing that are cut in half, because some wings you get are a whole wing that are all joined together.
Can I just quickly ask you something? So when you buy it in the supermarket, because I have never cooked chicken wings in my life, because I never really see the point, because there's no meat on it.
Well, there's a bit of tasty meat on it. Not a lot.
There's not
granted,
much.
It's like, the picking what's the up point? And eating with your fingers.
Is that what you like about it?
I love all of that stuff, yeah.
But where's the meat?
Well, there will be meat. You'll see the meat.
Okay.
You'll eat the meat.
Okay.
The ones you bought from Waitrose were already split, and the ones I generally get from Sainsbury's are whole wings, so you get the bicep and the forearm. I don't know if that's the correct term for it, but you get the general gist, right? You get both bits connected. These ones aren't, they're split.
But is that good or bad?
We'll find out. I mean, they're easier to eat. You don't have to split them, generally.
Normally you have to split them.
I would normally, you pull them apart and then split them and then eat one and eat the other.
Maybe we should do a little warning at the beginning for vegetarians.
Yeah, sorry if you're a vegetarian. We're going to eat chicken off the bone in this episode.
Oh.
So, they're in the device.
Yes.
This would be an appropriate time to talk about this device.
Okay. So, obviously you bought, at the beginning of series one, a deep fat fryer. I was a little bit horrified by it.
Yeah, yeah, fair enough.
But only because, you know, for a few weeks, you and your boys did eat deep fried food every day. And I know there was a sort of novelty aspect to it, and there was a fun side to it. It is an unhealthy way of cooking your food, but it does taste so damn good. I completely accept that. I completely accept that.
Yeah.
And I just want you to tell people what you did with the oil from your deep fat fryer the other day.
Oh yeah, so I try and clean out the deep fat fryer ever so often. So about once a month, I'll take the oil and pour it into something. So what I tend to do is the original 3-litre jug of oil that I got, which is empty, I pour the old oil back into that 3-litre jug and then pour a new 3-litre jug in. So it's 3-litre capacity, this deep fat fryer. What's interesting is when you pour the fat back into the bottle, there's only 2 litres of the oil left. So somewhere in the course of a month, we've consumed a litre of vegetable oil. Yeah, between me and the kids. Which is horrific.
So I think that is quite a good thing for you to see.
Oh, completely, yeah. And the worst thing is not just the oil that pours into the bottle, the debris that is left from all the previous cooks.
So you know that you are... Let's turn that off.
Yeah, let's turn that off. It's going to get annoying, right? So, wow.
Not burnt?
Yeah, no, I don't think so. Not really. I mean, that's nice. That'll be nice and crispy, though.
Should we take them out?
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to take them out. Okay. Sorry, people.
I'm going to talk.
Yeah.
The thing is, you see the debris in the oil,
yeah,
and it does make you realise that that debris's floating around for a month, deep, still frying every time you heat up the oil. I am the first one to appreciate, because I did have those chips, was it 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
And I nearly fell off my chair. I've never tasted anything so amazing. And I did inhale them. Michael, it's quite funny. We've known each other a very, very long time, but we haven't really properly eaten a lot in front of each other. And when Michael sees me eat something I love, I think it slightly frightens him. And these chips that he made in his deep fat fryer were so unbelievably good. And it was ugly. I mean, I do this thing where you know, he eats two and then I just like eat all of them all at once, all shoved into my mouth. Okay, so we've done a bit of sort of prepping.
Yeah.
But anyway, my point was, I think it was from a listener of the podcast. I did hear about a thing called an air fryer. I'd never heard of it before.
I would say we've had maybe 10 messages from listeners basically saying, have you tried an air fryer yet? Yeah, so we've
it must have been, I checked the messages and I saw the word and I thought, I'm going to go and get it right now.
Okay, good.
And I went online. What am I like? I'm very reactionary.
Yes, but you're also super efficient. I mean, there's lots of benefits to your reactionary personality trait.
Thanks.
So
I went online and I tried to find something that was kind of mid-range, not too expensive. So I went for the Pro Breeze. It was on Amazon. It was $69.99.
So it's not made by like Tefal or Murphy Richards. It's called Pro Breeze, right?
I think this company is called Pro Breeze.
Yeah, great.
But I did just see another one online, which was called the Ninja Air Fry.
Okay.
I mean, I do like the name.
Ninja.
Anything with the name Ninja, and it just sounds like it's going to be really good.
Good.
But that was like $149.99. And actually, having used this at home, this air fryer, I think this is actually a brilliant bit of kit.
How much again then?
$69.99.
Oh, okay. I would definitely consider getting one of these. To try and get us away from the deep fat fryer.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, we've just taken the chicken wings out, by the way, and I've just put them in the oven to keep warm while the chips are cooking. My God, they look amazing. I'm so full of juice right now.
So check this out. The stats are
75%
less fat than traditional frying methods.
Okay.
50% faster than traditional fan ovens.
Okay, good, yeah.
And that is the thing that is good about it. Because like you were saying, well, isn't it just a normal fan oven?
It feels like a mini fan
on a countertop.
Oven. Yes.
It mimics deep frying. It's got hot air, so it is like a fan oven.
Mm-hmm.
But because it's in such a tiny space, it churns the hot air around much quicker than it would in an oven. Because the oven's quite a big space to fill. And this hot air swirls around and cooks it in a way that...
You don't get a deep fat fryer.
Exactly.
Okay.
So it's essentially, it is an amped up countertop convection oven, but it's obviously faster and it is brilliantly easy to clean. As
well,
you and I.
I was just thinking that.
We saw.
Yeah, we took the wings out and obviously there's lots of the hot sauce in the thing. So we just cleaned it out, the base and the basket, and then put the chips in it. So yeah, it is really easy to clean. And an oven is a bloody nightmare. And a deep fat fryer, I mean, don't even get me started on cleaning the deep fat fryer. It's half a day, you know.
Oh,
I mean,
why?
Because the oil, as it burns, I guess, the oil, it sticks to the side, even though it's a non-stick thing. It's like a weird physical chemical reaction.
Mm.
And it turns into like a matter that you need a hammer and chisel to take off.
Really?
It's not like you can put a bit of fairy liquid on it and break it down.
Oh,
it doesn't
really
break down. And then the basket, obviously, has got all this area where it can collect all this burnt fat. So that's a nightmare. But they're a nightmare to clean. I've even thought about throwing it away and just buying a new one because the cleaning of it was so much hassle. It was only 20 quid the deep fat fryer.
But we just spent 5 seconds cleaning that. You cleaned the basket and I cleaned the inside of the other bit. But the stickiness, normally that would take us 20 minutes of scrubbing. And I rinsed it. I mean, it was that simple. So I think for me, the cleaning thing alone is a massive selling point.
Anything that saves you time.
The other thing that I really like, and I am all about portion control,
that
there is something about the little basket.
Yeah, you can't fit much in it.
You can't fit a load in it.
Yeah.
You know, two potatoes is enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like if you're a couple or you're a family of three, this is kind of the perfect size for your cooking. You almost don't even need an oven.
An oven. Yeah, I was just thinking that. If you've got kids that have just gone to university, this would be a great little solution for them if they lived in a little tiny place.
And it's also great with frozen food. So you
can
cook frozen chips.
Can you? Just stick them in there?
Yes. And you can
handy.
Cook things like mozzarella sticks. Anything that kind of is... did I say the magic word?
I love mozzarella
sticks. Did I?
Yeah. God.
I've never cooked a mozzarella stick in my own home.
Have you not?
No. I think I've eaten them.
Okay.
Outside.
A deep fried halloumi as well.
Oh,
we put halloumi
in there. That's amazing.
Yeah, we should try halloumi in there, yeah.
So because I'm a bit nervous, obviously, about, you know, a new machine and I don't know how to cook things in it, actually with this Pro Breeze, which I thought was rather brilliant, you get an air fryer favourite recipes booklet. So the first thing in there, obviously, is homemade chips. Second thing, buffalo chicken wings. So we've done both of those. I do think we've slightly overcooked them.
Well, it depends, because that'll be the sauce that's burnt,
okay,
not the chicken.
Okay, good. So, honey mustard pork chops. That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Fillet steak.
Yeah, I'd be interested to put a fillet steak
in the air fryer.
I
guess because the fillet steak's no fat.
Yeah, I don't know, but we should definitely try and put the steaks in there.
Paprika salmon.
Yeah, that sounds great.
So nice. Yeah. Spicy lemon prawns.
Yeah, you're not a prawn girl, though, are you?
Not really.
I do love a prawn.
Slightly makes me want to vomit even saying it.
Really?
But that's because I got...
You got food poisoning.
Food poisoning, right? In the back. But listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
This is a curveball. Classic Victoria. You're laughing at me a lot today.
I'm not. I'm just... Because there's lots of things that you're saying associated with other things that make me laugh.
I'm not laughing at you.
It's not particularly rude.
Alan Partridge?
It is Alan Partridge.
Oh my God.
It's amazing that you clicked that.
Literally, everything I say, you start laughing at, and I just think, oh my God, fucking Alan Partridge got there first.
Of Alan Partridge stuff.
He does... Fucking Steve Cook. If I ever see him again, I'm going to go, you've ruined my life.
No, I haven't. I've enhanced it.
No, not you.
No, I know, but like you can say that. You'll say, no, I have enhanced your life.
You turned into Steve Coogan there for
me.
You thought you were Steve Coogan.
You're going to shake the chips.
I'm going to shake the chips, people.
The thing is, I was watching Mid-Morning Matters this week with Joel, and he does the cooking contest of weird things. And someone sends him in a beef sponge, which is a Victoria sponge cake with a layer of beef embedded into it. And it just looks revolting. But as the episode goes on, he starts to eat it and enjoy it. When you said a Victoria sponge cake in something you're essentially cooking meat in, feels weird, right?
Well, I hadn't actually said the words Victoria sponge cake, but you read it off the piece of paper.
Sorry.
And just that made you laugh.
Yeah, it did. It did. Sorry.
You don't need to apologise. Okay. It is quite funny. I'll give you that. Anyway, you can bake in it.
I don't understand how.
So I did read a little thing earlier online about how to do biscuits in there. So you get, I mean, that makes sense to me. You put a piece of tin foil over the holes in the bottom of the fryer basket.
Yep.
And so the mixture can't fall through.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put your dollop of biscuit mixture. But, I mean, you couldn't make many biscuits in there. Four?
No, you couldn't really, no.
I guess four. Yeah. Oh, falafel balls.
I don't like falafel on any level.
What?
It's just so dry. And
it's not dry. You need some sauce. You need sauce with your falafels. That's what tzatziki's for.
When anyone says, oh, I've got your falafel salad, I think, who's that
for? I'm going to take you for the greatest falafel wrap you have ever had in your entire life. We're going to go. You know where the IMAX cinema is in London town by Waterloo Bridge?
Mm-hmm.
Next to there is a place that makes falafel wraps that I'm going to turn you.
Are you?
Yes.
I doubt it's going to happen.
It's the greatest falafel wrap I've ever had in my life.
I've tried many falafels and I've always thought, who eats this?
Okay, but be open-minded.
I'll be open-minded.
And we can recommend it. And they also do a roasted vegetable thing, which I think actually looks phenomenal.
Yeah, yeah.
So thank you for that, Pro Breeze.
Yes, well, thank you.
Then on top of that...
For the listeners.
I've got, yes, thank you, listeners.
For recommending, yeah.
On top of that, I also bought, and I can't really recommend it yet, but I'm just doing this as it's quite a good idea. If you buy one of these machines, I've also bought the complete air fryer recipe book for fast and healthy meals, and it includes sort of low-carb recipes if you're following that kind of additional maintenance tips, which is quite helpful. Make sure that you cook your food evenly. All lots of tips on how to air fry properly. Mm-hmm.
Breakfast
and
recipes.
Then cinnamon rolls, strawberry Pop-Tarts, peanut butter and jelly air-fried donuts.
Wow, we are making one of them.
Air-fried French toast soldiers.
Oh, Jesus.
French toast, bread recipes, garlic bread, meat recipes, steak, chicken, fried chicken, steak and air-fried steak and mushrooms, meatloaf. So there's some really, really good stuff here.
Fish recipes, lots of fish.
Lots of
fish.
Vegetables. Popcorn.
Okay, but there is a low carb section, I noticed.
Yes.
There. Okay.
Hadn't quite got there yet.
I'm going to have breakfast food or kill us. I'm very excited to try these chicken chips out of here, though. So this should be good. So you've got to keep shaking, what, every five minutes or so?
The last time I made the chips.
Yeah. They were all a bit done on one side.
Yes.
Okay.
So they weren't properly evenly cooked.
There's plenty of shaking going on there.
Yeah. I just want to make sure that, you know.
Good. So we watched a movie last night, a movie documentary.
Yes.
So I think we should talk about that because it's number one in the Netflix chart at the
moment.
So there'll be lots of people watching that or thinking about watching it. Yeah. But that's because it's new to Netflix. It's not necessarily it's the best thing. It's just the fact that, I mean, everybody's caned the Netflix, so everybody's watched everything. So I think when something new comes out, it instantly
People cannot have watched everything. People have watched everything they want to watch.
Yeah, but I mean, you think about 60 million people on lockdown, all Netflix subscribers, you know, they will have gone through a lot of content. So when anything new comes out, I think people are really going for it.
I mean, this is also an issue when you can just binge watch stuff.
Because
you go through a series of six episodes in two nights.
Well,
and then what do you watch? Then you're done.
Yeah, you have to find something else.
Yeah.
So then I guess that's why you end up watching a huge amount of content. Anyway, this thing came up last night. We were both keen to watch a documentary of some sort. So it's always nice to learn something or try and understand something. It's called American Murder, The Family Next Door.
My name's Nicole, and I'm calling because I'm concerned about a friend of mine. I dropped her off at her house at 2 in the morning last night, and I haven't been able to get a hold of her this morning. I've gone to her house, and her car is there. She won't answer phone calls. She won't answer text messages. What's her name? Shanann Watts.
In 2018, 38-year-old Shanann Watts and her two young daughters disappeared in Colorado. With heartbreaking details emerging, the family story made headlines around the world. I kind of remember Shanann Watts, but I might be confused with Shannon Matthews, which was a massive story at the time. So it's interesting. You get the rough idea of what's going to happen very early on. I mean, we were watching it going, oh, we think we know what's happened. And arguably, yes, what we thought was going to happen happened. So it's not really, you're not trying to unpick anything particularly, I don't think. It's not a massive whodunit. I guess there is a bit about what is the truth to the story that you find out towards the end. But it's not a huge revelation either. It's not like a, oh my God, I can't believe that happened. I can't believe it's him or anything like that. But it is worth a watch. It's just remarkable watching somebody behave, knowing full well what they've done. So when you watch this guy being talked to by the police, a lot of the footage for the documentary is made by the police wearing these on-body cameras. So
like they have here.
You can see the conversations that they're having.
I mean, that's amazing because they've documented the whole thing, and they've clearly given all of that footage to the documentary maker.
Yes.
It's all the police's footage.
Yeah.
Like, that would never happen here.
Well, they've done it with the consent of the families involved.
I think,
because at the end, it is a thank you to them for allowing that footage to be shown. But the other thing is that Shanann, in particular, did a lot of home videoing.
Which
she videoed herself and the kids and all the rest
of it.
Yeah, it's interesting all that, isn't it? But, I mean, it's just the world we live in.
But this is what I mean. Like, for anybody that dies now going forward, they will be online forever.
Forever. Yeah, oh, yeah. Well, our lives will be documented, certainly for the last 7 or 8 years.
Yeah.
That does lead me into something else that I'm going to talk about in a minute. But just to finish off on this, because she'd filmed so much of herself and the kids, and then you've got all the police footage as well, and then you've got some home footage from the families, you are able to piece together quite a comprehensive documentary of amazing footage, some really interesting coincidental footage. And then you've got all the text messages were great, wasn't it?
Really good.
You saw the text exchanges between him and his wife in the lead up to her disappearance and the kids' disappearance. I think the thing that I love about all that kind of stuff the most is that when you look at somebody, you know, you make an assumption about who they are. And, you know, of course, there's the whole, you can't judge a book by its cover. But I think the most interesting thing is that the monsters don't look like monsters. Mm. They never look scary. And we had this with Des that you watched the other week and the Ted Bundy stuff that I'm sure a lot of people have seen those Ted Bundy tapes. That's well worth a watch on Netflix because he looks like such a nice, charismatic, intelligent man, and he's an absolute horrific monster. And this guy's another example of it. I guess you've always got to have your guard up to a certain extent because you don't know who anybody is, really. So in 2003, my good friend Andy took me to see a documentary called Capturing the Freedmans. Have you ever heard of that? Just to finish on American Murder, it rates 7.2 on IMDb. It's an hour and 22 minutes long, so it's well worth a watch. It is very interesting, but there's nothing hugely revealing about it.
Can I quickly say my thoughts on it? What I thought was really great about it, and you touched on it, is that normally in a documentary, you have a lot of talking heads filling in space. But like you said, there was such an abundance of footage that you could really... But it made it feel like a movie.
Yes.
Because you never normally get that much access. You knew exactly what her kids were like. You knew exactly what kind of person she was. But the other thing that I absolutely loved was the footage of the... What's it called when they do a polygraph? Polygraph test?
The polygraph was great. When they did the girl was fantastic, wasn't she?
Off the charts amazing.
Yeah.
She was like, I'm doing this because at the end of this, I will... I mean, she was definitely using NLP. Like
yes.
Neuro-linguistic programming.
Yeah.
She was saying to him, she got him to talk.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say what he said, but... She made him talk with her words. And they also played the most amazing good cop, bad cop.
They did, didn't they?
That was so good. It was just incredible.
Yeah, and the technique they do of giving him permission to talk and say what he needed to say. You could feel the release coming through the TV, you know, saying, here's your opportunity to tell the truth.
Yeah.
It was like they were saying, we won't judge you, you know, like, don't worry, you know.
What's interesting is like...
The judge will judge you.
Yeah. But, you know, they were just so nice to him. And then you think, and now... Anyway, I don't But it's so interesting.
It's well worth a watch. This thing that my friend taught me to see, sorry, that is the frazzling of the chips. It was called Capturing the Freedmans.
You would have to wonder... What kind of a family situation could produce this kind of crime?
They're gonna put me in the movie.
I mean, I had no concept that this thing even exists in the world.
For me to be so outraged, it was like someone's worst nightmare.
They're harassing my father for no reason at all.
We'll make a film about a man that's sad and lonely.
The scenario posted by the media and the police was so incredibly way out.
The very nature of these charges is so absurd.
So he didn't really tell me anything about it. He just said, I'm going to take you to the cinema tonight to see this movie. It's one of the great things I loved about cultivating a friendship with Andy was that he worked in TV and movies and stuff like that. So he was regularly having access, I guess, to things that I didn't know anything about.
Mm.
This is before social media as well, of course. This is 2003.
Right.
So you might have learned about the stuff on the internet, but it wasn't like there was great ways of sharing it. So he said he took me to see Touching the Void as well. If you've not seen Touching the Void.
It's amazing. Whoa.
It's a very obscure film, but it taps into what we saw last night, which is what reminded me of it, is that this is a film about a very strange, dysfunctional family. So I'll read you the blurb on IMDb. A documentary on the Freedmans, a seemingly typical upper-middle-class Jewish family whose world is instantly transformed when the father and the youngest son are arrested and charged with shocking and horrible crimes. Yeah. But what's interesting about the Freedmans, Arnold Freedman was slightly obsessed with home movies. He had a video camera all the time, from the children being born in the early to mid-70s. He had cine footage, and then he went on to VHS. And they filmed themselves all the time.
Right.
So there is an enormous amount of footage.
So a bit like this.
Yeah, but it's pre-internet. It's pre-camera phones and stuff like that. So back in those days, if you shone a camera on someone, it was because they were doing something, you know, whereas now people just talk endless kind of stuff, don't they? You know, so it's in the footage is outrageous.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Dangerously amazing.
Mm.
But what happens in this documentary is that he is an actual secret paedophile and has bought...
The dad is. Oh, God.
But it has suppressed it for many, many years, but has bought a magazine from an Amsterdam outlet, and it's been shit, and the police have intercepted this magazine. So then have come round to his house and found all this video footage. But it's just of the family.
Yeah.
They piece together this footage in a not a very pleasant way, I guess, to start to paint a picture of this guy as being horrific. Anyway, he's a teacher of children, and him and his son run a computer school downstairs in the basement for children to come and learn how to use the computers.
Yeah.
These children are now quite old, but they interview them all and ask them about their experiences.
Yeah.
And I don't really know what to say about it, really, but it's almost ludicrous. It's ridiculous the what happens. It feels like there's some kind of swell of activity where people start to say the most outrageous lies about what he'd done to them.
Really?
Him and the son. Well, you have to watch it to try and really kind of understand whether you believe what's going on or not. Some of the children who were in the class said, absolutely, categorically, nothing happened in that class. I went to that class 3 years running. I went to the advanced class because I enjoyed it so much. I learned so much about computers. And other kids say that they were forced to strip off, lean over like a game of leapfrog, and as Mr. Friedman would leapfrog them naked, he would do various things. I mean, the stories are so at odds with each other that the whole thing's farcical. But what's interesting about it is the Friedmans decide to film this entire period of their life while going through this experience. So the whole thing is remarkable. So when they're going to court, they film themselves going to court in the car, chatting about what's going on. None of them believe that they're going to get arrested. They found the whole thing so ludicrous that they're singing songs and dancing outside the courtroom and stuff like that.
Oh, my God.
It is so bizarre.
They go to prison.
I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to want people to watch it. But it rates 7.7 on IMDb. It's an hour and 45 minutes long. It was made in 2003. It's made... It won loads of awards. It is utterly fascinating.
Oh, my God, I'm going to watch it.
It's the insight into an amazing American family. And what's great about it is there's no great conclusion. You make your own conclusion from watching this documentary. And it'd be very interesting to hear from you lot.
Can I be honest?
Yeah?
I think that it's really interesting, this kind of stuff, because when you talk about, not you, when one talks about abuse or abusers or paedophiles, I think that if you've ever experienced any kind of abuse of any sort, like fumblings or anything, you will always err on the side of they could have done it. Because, like, abusers come from, like, nowhere or familiar places or places where you least expect it. It's what we were just saying. You know, murderers look like really nice people. It's not ever normal. So it's quite interesting that you would come, you know, we were talking about confirmation bias and stuff, with an opinion anyway, before it's even started.
Well, this film feeds into confirmation bias a lot, because I think you could just go, oh yeah, I can see this. But then there's such gaping holes in the evidence that you think, if I was to believe this, I'm kidding myself. Like, this can't be true. Not because of the what's been suggested that they did, but the stories are conflicting in such a horrific way that you think, hang on a second, how can this stand up in court, for goodness sake, you know? And they think that as well, because they're just think this is laughable. And even what's being described, the kind of crimes that are being described, is
sort
too
of comical.
It's comical, you know. It's just unbelievable, you know, like sex leapfrog. How does that even work? So anyway, you know, I'd highly recommend it as a film. It's not a depressing, horrible documentary.
Well, it
it's
like
a
it would
fascinating,
be.
Like, look into the life of this kind of slightly odd family.
Because regardless of whether they didn't do it or they did do it.
I mean,
their life is ruined.
Oh, yeah, completely. You know, the whole family was ripped apart by this whole thing.
It's terrible.
So that is terrible. It's a fantastic documentary. And The thing about the American Murders, it reminded me of this, and it reminded me of just how well made this documentary is. So,
okay,
Capturing the Freedmans, give it a watch.
Do you know if we can see it anywhere? Can you have a look and see if it's on Netflix?
It's on Prime at £2.49 to watch on Prime Video.
Okay, Prime.
Maybe on Netflix as well. I'd love to know what you think, by the way, people. So send us a quick message and say, oh, wow.
I'll let you know what I think.
Yeah, please do. In fact, I'd love to watch it again with you, actually.
Maybe we can watch it tonight.
Bingo.
Bingo. This is a salad chopper.
Okay.
It is £6.99.
Wow.
It is basically a bowl that I don't know if you've noticed, but you can wash your salad in the bowl.
Oh, it's like a salad washer.
I mean, you don't spin it. You can't spin it. But it is sort of a colander.
Yep.
I have not used this before.
No.
So it could be absolutely pants.
Mm-hmm.
But I have been told that it is amazing.
I can't remember where we've heard. I think this was a message from somebody on the Instas.
It was a message.
And I think she sent us a picture of it. And you went, I'm buying one right now.
And I did it. And here we are. So I think you put it on this
way. You do.
And I've got a feeling I've got slightly too much in there. Yeah. I'm going to take a couple of things out.
Yeah, you've...
I've overcooked it already.
Take the red peppers out. Nobody likes them.
I like red peppers. And I want to see what they're like. Okay. Because... I've got the salad chopper. I'm assuming that you have to cut with a really sharp knife.
Yeah.
I think this is quite sharp.
Those knives are so terrifyingly sharp.
Oh, great. Okay.
So... If you can imagine like an old boiled egg slicer, you're slicing into the slits of the salad bowl.
But let me just quickly explain what happens then. This is BPA-free plastic, dishwasher safe. And what happens is it's got a thing that turns around so you can...
Oh, you swill it around.
Oh, but I've got it so full
that
it won't swill.
Okay.
But I'm just going to keep chopping. Oh, it did turn around. It did turn around a bit. I mean, it's almost impossible. You'd have to do all of this individually.
Mm. If you were going to... You need a bowl, really, don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, you're a big fan of the chopped salad.
I love chopped salad. Do you think that's enough?
I think that's plenty, yeah.
Oh, my God. It's really nice.
Great.
Look at that. Really happy with that. Yeah.
Great. Yes, that looks
That's funny because I was not expecting it to come out that excellent. That's a big salad. That's enough for two or three people.
That's easy enough, yeah. Very good.
So in there I put red peppers because I thought they were quite hard to chop. I put avocado because I wasn't sure if that would work with it, so I wanted to see if that worked. I've put tomatoes in. And iceberg lettuce. And I am extremely happy with the result. I'm going to put a little bit of dressing on there now. Right, shall we eat?
Yeah.
And then you can give me your...
The verdict.
Verdict.
This is really good.
Oh my God, it's so good.
So the chicken looks a bit burnt, I think, because the sauce has burnt onto the chicken. But the chicken's fine inside.
There's so much meat on wings.
Yeah, right? I mean, they are Waitrose wings. If you go cheap, you get a lot of bone. You're very skinny chickens. Mmm.
But I've got to say, the recipe is amazing.
It's great, right? You're not keen on spicy things, are you?
Not madly.
Okay. That is very spicy, that sauce. It's very nice.
Mm. Wow.
So, chicken wings are a definite winner.
In the air fryer.
In the Pro Breeze, yeah. Chips are very good.
They're not very oily.
No. We used olive oil. Maybe we should have gone sunflower oil.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can do another round of these at some point, using a different oil.
Mm-hmm.
Experimenting.
To me, they feel a bit disappointing.
Mm. Do you know what they feel like? Healthy chips.
Yeah. Don't want that.
Okay, we're going to pause and eat, and then we'll get back to you in just 2 seconds. Oh, that was delicious. Excuse me.
I've got to say...
Yeah.
that I really enjoy this podcast because, you know, we jokingly kind of call it the TripAdvisor for your life. But honestly, the number of products that have enhanced my, well, not just my culinary experiences at home, but just my, you know, I mean, even from things like the weighted blanket, I do use that sometimes.
Yeah.
It's really nice and comforting. This salad chopper
is
a game changer for me. I love salad. I particularly like chopped salad. I am very excited because that was some cubes of cheddar on it.
Yeah.
You know, chop some egg in there. Oh my God, I'm off. Mm. Like,
so $6.99.
Yes, and it's BPA free. Now, BPA is that thing. I don't know if you remember a long time ago, but everybody was a bit freaked out about BPA in baby bottles.
Oh, yes.
And it stands for bisphenol A. And it's an industrial chemical that's been used to make plastics and resins since the 60s. It can seep into food or beverages from containers that are made with it.
Right.
And that is especially when things are heated. And exposure to BPA is a bit of a concern because of the health effects of it on the brain and prostate gland of fetuses, infants and children. So it can also affect children's behaviour. There's a possible link between BPA and increased blood pressure. And they have said it's BPA is safe at very low levels that occur in some foods, but plastic with it in, when you heated it, everybody got a bit freaked out about it. So when something says it's BPA free, you just think, oh, well, you don't even need to worry about it then.
Okay.
So it's dishwasher proof. It's £6.99. If you, like me, enjoy a chopped salad, it's an absolute game changer. But it doesn't just chop salad, of course. If you wanted to do a lovely fruit salad or... You know, there's lots of different things that you
fruit
could do.
You chuck in there. Yeah, that's very good.
Yeah.
You talking about that BPA, is it? Reminded me of a film I watched during, I think, when we were on holiday from this podcast. I went to see Dark Waters, the film with Mark Ruffalo, a true story about that town somewhere in America where it was being infected by a chemical from this industrial company that were making Teflon. Making that non-stick surface for pans. And there was a byproduct of Teflon, which was called carbon 8, C8. Yes. And they were just basically pumping it into the water system. And it was causing people to have cancers and all sorts of things. But they were struggling to find a way to prove it. Mark Ruffalo worked for an insurance law firm that looked after the pharmaceutical company or the chemical company. Mm. But he ended up taking them on. He left his job and then came on as somebody to sue the company for what they were doing and did manage to prove it. But the amazing outcome of that is that there's now so much C8 around that it's in 99% of every species in the world. Your DNA contains C8 because of that chemical plant. That's quite amazing, isn't it? It's virtually in everybody
That's
in the world.
Horrific.
It alters your DNA ever so slightly.
That's horrific.
Yeah. We're talking about this BPA thing. You think, if this happens, you know, like there is chemicals out there that they know are harmful that do get left in the system and get brushed under the carpet and pushed alongside, and it'll probably be all right. And actually, hundreds of people have died from it in that town. But anyway, it's not a bad film. It's not a great film. It's called Dark Waters, and you can still go and see it at the cinema, I think, because the cinemas are desperate to show anything.
I love Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah, he's great. And he was in that film Spotlight. It's made by exactly the same team. It's virtually exactly
really,
the same film.
I really like him so much. Mm. The other thing is that this is why I love all of the sustainable packaging that's coming out now. You know, that Boots are using paper bags and everybody is just kind of going that extra mile to really think about packaging and what they can do. Let's big up Red Nose Day. Mm. They have now done a plastic-free nose, which we should all be... We're recommending that because...
Oh, absolutely.
Every single penny of buying a nose goes towards Comet Relief, which does provide help for so many of these.
Salad Chopper is a winner.
Salad Chopper's a winner.
And that was a chicken dinner. There was a little rhyme
to go on. Yeah, I love that.
Do you see what I did there?
Yes.
Okay, so where else were we up to? What else? I finished watching The Trip with Rob Brydon and Steve Coogan.
Oh, no.
I was going to talk about this briefly because I'd talked about it last week. I'd watched episode 1, 2, and now I've watched the rest of them. And then we watched the final episode together the other night. And I would be interested to see what you thought.
Yes, well, what was interesting was, because you slightly preceded it for me with, look, it's the one in Greece. The critics have slightly said, bit samey-samey, you know, slightly bit boring kind of same thing. I found it completely different. I didn't think it was samey-samey at all. I mean, I know that they are away experiencing a road trip again, and that is the same thing. But what was interesting, and we talked about this a bit, but the dynamic between the two of them was completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Previously, Rob Brydon was just really kind of annoying, like a sort of mosquito. But he had a sort of power this time that was quite interesting to behold. And then obviously Steve Coogan's dad in it was very sick. But what I sort of finally grasped this time is that it's like a kind of liberal elites made in Chelsea or The Only Way is Essex, because it's augmented reality.
Yeah.
It's the two of them, it's their friendship, but it's not his wife, it's not his kid.
Yeah.
Does he have a son?
Mm-hmm.
His dad's not dead. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't be documenting it like this in such a way. But the acting in it, you know, he's a good actor.
Oh, Steve I think Coogan. He's great. Yeah, yeah.
And
you can feel the emotion towards the end, can't you? You have felt broken.
And I was thinking, what is this? Like, what am I feeling? But it's weird because you start kind of questioning yourself because you think, I'm feeling this for actual Steve Coogan. It's not him playing a part.
Yeah.
But it's not true.
Yeah.
It's really an odd concept. But having said all of that, the joy of seeing anybody on holiday anywhere with no masks.
Oh, wasn't that nice? And eating in restaurants, sat by the sea.
Gorgeous.
Totally agree.
I was like, oh, look at all these like drone shots of being away and
lovely beaches.
I don't want to go away. Okay. I know there's no chance of going away, but I do love watching pretty shots of other people away. So I really, really enjoyed it. I mean, you've had a lifetime of appreciating Steve Coogan. I'm kind of quite new to it because of you.
Yeah.
You've made me like this. I like him more and more and more.
Mm.
Yeah.
Ah, good. There was a really great series he did, I think, for the BBC a few years ago where he played a gambling addict. It was a serious drama he did called Sunshine.
I think I saw it.
And, oh, God, it was so good. I think he portrayed someone with a horrific addiction brilliantly. And because it was a gambling addiction, which is a slightly different animal.
It's a very difficult addiction to eat.
But I don't know where Sunshine is. I'm assuming you can still get it somewhere. But if you
can, I just say something.
What?
You just said I'm assuming.
Sunshine.
Yeah. I'm assuming.
I'm assuming it's available somewhere. And off the back of that, we had a couple of recommendations from people.
Yes.
For me to watch Bob Mortimer and Paul Whitehouse go fishing. They have a series on TV.
Yeah. I have heard
Oh, have you? Yeah, yeah. I mean, I follow Bob Mortimer on Instagram. And I mean, if you like that kind of slightly bizarre, irreverent comedy that he does, which is just weird, where he just makes up songs and he plays this kind of sales rep, this corporate sales rep. Where he pretends to FaceTime his friends, you know, and talk about what meetings he's going to that day. I just find him hysterical. Me and Joel do as well. I think Chester would like it because
it's
very childish.
I love Bob Mortimer.
Yeah, he's brilliant. But him and Paul Whitehouse, I think they both had heart attacks and both had heart bypasses because I'm sure they talk about that in episode one. But it's those two going fishing, basically, and that's it. And then whatever it is they experience on the journey, the conversations they have. They've got a camp sometimes. They're in a hotel other times.
It's the trip of fishing.
It's the trip of fishing. And I've not watched a lot of it, but thanks for recommending it again, because you have reminded me of it to watch. And I'd highly recommend it for anybody else out there who's thinking, oh, I'd quite like to watch something along the lines of The Trip or Top Gear or something along those lines of male friendship. I think it's quite nice.
We also watched a bit of Stuart Lee last night.
Yes.
And I forgot how absolutely genius he was.
Yes,
he is.
Well, I've got Stuart Lee on my list here because I did want to say that. We watched a thing last night called If You'd Prefer a Milder Comedian, Please Ask. And that's available on Amazon Prime. I mean, his stuff is quite expensive. His latest one is called The Content Provider. And it's £10 on Amazon. I bought it. I watched it several times. I like it that much. But one of the ironic things he does is on the stage, he has a set full of secondhand comedy DVDs from people like Lee Mack, Frankie Boyle, Michael McIntyre, Jimmy Carr. Now, you can buy secondhand DVDs of stand-up comedy at roughly a penny a DVD. But Stuart Lee's are £3.77 if you want to buy a secondhand Stuart Lee comedy DVD, which is quite amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
The value of his is just, it's hard as
so
come by.
So that must be supply and demand, right?
Yeah,
so there's
absolutely.
There's a higher demand.
But he was
so
saying...
he's really chuffed about that.
Well, the other funny, one of his funny jokes is, for him to make DVDs and sell them, it costs him more than £3.77. So late at night, he goes online and buys all his own secondhand DVDs, one, creating a market for it, but two, he makes more money from reselling the secondhand DVDs than he does from making new ones. Anyway, it's very funny. But one of the other funny jokes is that secondhand comedy DVDs from his contemporaries are the cheapest building materials you could find to build a set out of. So the whole set's built out of these. And then there's a brilliant story in it. But look, if you like stand-up comedy at all, you won't find anybody better than Stuart Lee.
And
there's three of them that's worth watching. One, if you prefer a milder comedian, there's one called Carpet Remnant World, which is
oh my god, yes,
super. The opening 10 minutes of that is so skillfully done. It's brilliant. And then Content Provider.
What about the BBC show?
Yeah, there's one called Stuart Lee's Comedy Vehicle, which was a BBC Two show. It was on late at night. But you get a half an hour snippet of his show, and then they're another half an hour long. I think what's brilliant about Stuart Lee is the fact that he weaves a story across an hour and a half. And if you see him for a half an hour, you could find yourself thinking, what even is this? I just don't get it. It's not that funny.
You need to really see the hour and a half.
I think once you've established what he does over that course of an hour and a half and then watch Comedy Vehicle, you totally get it because you know what he is. Because he's a character, I guess. He is Stuart Lee, but he's also the character of Stuart Lee. I couldn't recommend it enough, but it was really funny that, like, wasn't it last night?
Yeah, it was so good. And I'd forgotten quite how genius he was, but he is a genius.
The Richard the Hamster Hammond section is
so painful.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It's so painful. But Richard Hammond can't have seen it.
Oh, yes, he would have.
No, but you wouldn't watch that. Your friends would go, don't watch it.
You couldn't not watch it, though.
I wouldn't watch it. I have no interest. It's interesting because people think that you want to know bad things that are being said about you. So I remember when I did my chat show, people used to come up to me at the gym that I didn't even know and go, oh my God, I'm so sorry about what the Mail said about you this morning. Yeah, and I think, I don't read it.
Yeah,
I don't look at it. I don't read it. Don't tell me. I don't want to know. They're not friends.
No, but I'm sure Richard Hammond's probably got enough enemies for people to pass that on to him.
Oh my God, you sound like bloody Stuart Lee.
Just a couple of shout outs before we finish. We had a message tonight from Sarah Hennessy that says, two TV recommendations. First, The Marvellous Mrs. Maisel on Prime. I've seen this and it is brilliant.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's a drama about a stand-up comedian based in the 60s. Yeah, well, it's very good. I know my dad rang me a while ago saying, God, we just love The Marvellous Mrs. Maisel. I watched season one of it, thought it was great.
Whole of it? You've watched the whole of it?
Yeah, I mean, it's been around for a while now. There's three seasons of it. Oh, sorry. So it was a while ago when I watched it, but I did enjoy it. The secondly, she said, there's a show on Netflix called Somebody Feed Phil on Netflix, which is a travelogue foodie type show, but it's made by a guy called Phil Rosenthal. Now, you might remember that name because he invented Everybody Loves Raymond.
Oh!
Yeah. So he's the exec producer of Everybody Loves Raymond, and he's decided to make his own show called Feed Phil, where he travels around the world eating food. I watched the trailer of that, so it looks good. So thank you very much, Sarah Hennessy, for sending that to us. Davinia Gomes?
Yep, Davinia Gomes.
She's just binge-watched Life, a BBC drama. Fantastic casting. You will love it. And she's also recommended two Yorkshire tea blends for us. One called Bedtime.
What?
The decaf.
Wait. Yeah. This is big news. Hang on. Wait.
Davinia.
BBC.
Life. It's on BBC. So BBC iPlayer.
iPlayer. Okay. Wait, because I really... You can't just drop Yorkshire tea on me.
Yes.
that.
These are without, Yorkshire tea what? Blends. I mean, I've never heard of these. So one's called
Shut Up
Biscuit. Let's have a quick
what?
Pause.
Why? Well,
malty
what?
Biscuit.
Shut
brew.
Up! A malty biscuit brew tastes like tea and biscuits.
Without the biscuit.
But why have they not sent this to me? I'm friends with Yorkshire Tea. Like, we yeah. tweet each other.
Well, they will now.
Can I just say I'm not paid by them, by the way?
No. And this one's a decaf bedtime brew with vanilla and nutmeg.
Decaf.
Yeah, okay. But, you know, I can't drink tea before bed. It's a nightmare.
But you might like it.
So Daryl, the guy who is sending us the glasses and the phone case
oh,
from
yeah.
Australia, he has sent us a picture of deep frying chips. He says, this is your fault. Haven't cooked deep fried chips in years. Always cooked them in the oven. Couldn't stop myself listening to your last podcast. Delicious.
Oh, dear. Now he's going to have to get an air fryer.
Yes. Okay. And then the final one is from Emma Cuthbert.
Yes, we know Emma.
Happy Sunday. Just wanted to say I'm loving the new series. It's good to have you back. I'm not sure if you would be interested in a couple of recommendations. First one is Californian Honey and Salt Peanuts by Walkers.
What?
I mean, they sound good, don't they? She sent us a picture of them. They are amazing and so tasty. I can imagine straight away that they sound great. I have sent a picture, not sure if it's worked. The second recommendation is an Instagram and Facebook account by Dr. Julie Smith. She's a psychologist and posts lots of helpful and interesting content to support people's mental health, which is much needed
good.
In these strangest times. Dr. Julie Smith.
Have
Facebook,
you checked her out yet?
I haven't, no. I'm literally just reading this as it came in.
Okay.
So that sounds great. And there's a picture of Sensations Oven. Roasted peanuts, California.
Do you know what else I saw on the KP Nuts Instagram account?
Go on.
KP Nuts have made a peanut butter.
Somebody sent it to us. They've already sent us the picture.
No, I sent you the picture.
Oh, did you send it?
Yeah.
It was you?
Yes.
Are you a listener?
But I sent you the picture because if it hasn't got sugar in, I bet it's great.
Okay.
Too many companies put sugar in their peanut butter. Mm. They don't need to. Whole Earth... make a lovely peanut butter with absolutely no sugar in it. So
I've tasted the whole earth stuff. It's very nice.
I also quickly want to say a big shout out to Jim Jams, who have been making the milk spread and the hazelnut spread, so very much like the nutty chocolate spread that everybody loves, the big brand.
Yeah.
But they do one now, and now on their pots they say no added sugar.
Okay.
None.
What did they say before?
It used to say 83% less sugar.
Okay, and now there's none?
None.
Oh, wow, great.
So, you know, just for any mums out there that, you know, that kind of chocolate spread is delish. But I used to, like, really balk at the idea of all of that sugar. And what a way to start the day with a ton of sugar on some toast. But no added sugar. I mean, there must be sweetener in some way, but...
Yes, maybe they drop a bit of saccharin in there or something. Yeah. But that's great news. We have been featured on... Apple's podcast today on the recommendation site, haven't we?
I think we are on their homepage.
We're on the
Apple homepage, yeah. We're very excited.
And it says new season. So we just want to say a big thank you to everybody for listening and supporting us and anyone who's left a review on iTunes. We're very, very grateful
for. Oh my God.
If you haven't left one, we'd really love you to leave
Please,
one if you like us,
great.
That is. Please keep sending us messages and recommendations and stuff like that. It's great to interact with you. We try and read all of them and try and get back to some of them. And then I post a lot of them into the general page so we've got them to read out. But we really enjoy hearing from you, so please keep sending them in.
And I'd like to say that we don't get paid by anybody to say anything. And if we do get gifted anything, we will let you know.
Yeah. And I've got some really interesting things to talk about next week. I'm very excited.
What?
Yeah. I know.
God, look at you.
I know. I'm holding my chest in excitement. Yeah. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you very soon.
See you soon.